to call to order the February 24th, 2014 Kootenai Fire District Prudential Committee regular meeting. At this point, is anybody recording? Amy Cates is recording for the record. At this point, I'll open it up to public comment. I would ask anyone who has public comment, maybe with the exception of Amy, to just please go into the microphone because this is all being recorded. If she's something she wants to say, that's fine. Anybody? Public comment?
I wasn't going to say anything, but
you have to identify yourself.
Ken Malloy, 225 Oxford Drive. There was so much discussion last time about the painting of Freedom Hall, and I noticed it wasn't on the agenda. I was just kind of interested in what happened there with the contractor.
Do you want to? Have you heard back from?
Yeah, I'll go through it at Freedom Hall.
Okay.
I thought it was on you.
Do you want to answer his question now, or do you want to hold off until we're on to Freedom Hall?
I'll wait until we get to Freedom Hall.
Okay. Last call for public comment. All right. Seeing none, we'll move on to the website. Would you like us? Let's go to the treasurer's report, and I'll give you. All right. Well, then.
Patricia Brown, Brown & Company. At the last meeting, I was asked to prepare some options for podcasting, which is essentially what we're going to do with the current minute meetings. For want of a better term, when they're posted on the Internet, the general shorthand term for it is podcasting. So what I did is I looked at a bunch of different options. On your current web hosting server, you have unlimited space. But as I mentioned last time, what's going to happen is because you have big files to download, the internet company will either throttle or turn off the account because it's not set up for podcasting. Another thing that, again, what I'm trying to do is kind of preempt some questions. Other people may say, well, why don't we put it on iTunes? iTunes actually doesn't host accounts. What they do is simply provide links to other services. So while we may decide that we want to include them in the iTunes catalog, we still need to find some place to actually store the files and be able to download them. Then I looked at Amazon, which people look at and say it's cheap web space. The problem is going to be in terms of bandwidth, again, because Amazon charges both for the storage space and for the bandwidth, so that when you download files, it gets very expensive. I estimated that within 6 months, you'll be paying triple the price that we would with a standard podcasting service, and that doesn't include any longer-term storage. I also looked at free podcasting services. There are two problems that I saw with those. One of them first is that most of them have advertising, which may or may not be appropriate because you can't control what is being advertised against your podcasts. I also looked at a service called Podbean, which has various levels of very cheap hosting. Again, the two problems that I saw were that it was not a very robust service. There were a lot of complaints online about people not being able to get at their podcasts and listen to them. So it really came down to two options, a service called Libsyn and a service called Blueberry. I looked at both. They're comparable in terms of costs. They're comparable in terms of stats and things like that. But in terms of ease of use and in terms of robustness, I'm going to recommend that we go with Libsyn. It's the dollar for dollar. It's about the same cost within a dollar or two. And the nice thing about the podcasting hosting accounts as well is that you only pay for what you use that month. So we can archive the minutes indefinitely at no additional charge. So if you pay for what you're going to use that month. If you anticipate, and I'm guessing off the top of my head, that we'll be looking at somewhere around 250 megabytes of disk storage. So what you can do is upload those files, and then once those files are uploaded, at the end of 30 days, you get another 250 megabytes of storage. So you're not constantly paying to archive. And I know Fran and I talked about whether or not we wanted to do a long-term archive. This gives you that ability to essentially have them online forever at no additional cost. So it seemed like a better option. Based on what I'm looking at for costs, so once we have the file that Fran sent me was 755 megabytes, which may or may not mean anything to anybody, but it's a really big file, especially for downloading for a podcast. For an hour podcast, if you look at a commercial podcast, we should be somewhere in the 15 megabyte to 20 megabyte range for an hour podcast. So what I did is I played with a couple of options in terms of how I could make the file much smaller. I've come up with a method that took that 755 megabyte file that Fran gave me, and I got it down to 17 megabytes, which is a much better option and will save you guys, save us all storage space costs in the long run. So figuring it's a two-step process. I also talked at Fran's, I asked Fran to get me in touch with Kenneth Wade, who's doing the audio system. I had a conversation with him this afternoon. He was on the road, but he was going to look into whether or not the initial recording could be in a format that might make it a little smaller and require less processing. So he said, I honestly don't know at this point. He was on the road. He said he would take a look at it and get back to me. In terms of the costs, it takes about 30 to 45 minutes to run the files through two compression algorithms, which get it from that really big file size down to the manageable file size. For the additional documents and things, I'm figuring it's probably going to take about 3 hours a month for me to do the audio work, and it's probably going to take an additional 2 hours a month to do the ancillary posting, linking, uploading the files, things like that. So I'm figuring if we're doing 5 meetings a month, it's going to be about an hour per meeting to do all of the work that's required to get each of those meetings posted. At storage costs, I'm estimating you're going to be about $20 a month. Anyone have any questions? And then we can talk about the website updates in a minute. But I don't know if anybody has any questions about podcasting.
As far as the $20, that's just for what, the $20 a month?
The $20 a month will give you the storage space and the ability to download it to the website.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up links on the website that somebody can click on. In fact, I did set up a test page, which I forwarded for you guys to take a look at and kind of do a test run with it. But the $20 a month gets you that.
And what's our, what do we pay you, an hourly rate?
And as of June 1st, it goes up to $75. It's been $50. My normal rate is $100 an hour. So I've been giving the I live here too, so I've been giving the district a discount. But I haven't raised my rates in 2 years. So June 1st, it will be $75 an hour.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anybody else questions?
Just so you know, I sent the test page that you sent me to the chairman of the fire commissioners, and he thought it was great. And also, the audio file went to a stenographer to see what they thought about it, and they thought the compressed one was no problem. Thought that
great.
Was great also.
Okay.
So are you looking for us to make a decision relative on the Lanscom?
For what is the? Oh, Libsyn, L-I-B-S-Y-N. L as in, it's lib, L-I-B-S-Y-N.
So are we looking for a motion, or do you want some more time?
When do you want to start? I thought, you know, you said you wanted to wait until, you know, the beginning of the next fiscal year. Do we want to start posting these things now, or?
Yeah. If I can make one suggestion,
mm-hmm.
It might make sense to begin posting what you have now, so that of July 1st, you have a couple of months of archives for people to go back and view. It's simple enough to kind of pick up from where you are and move forward with that.
Okay. Any questions, Lori? So you want to do that? You make a motion?
I'll make a motion that we start posting the podcast on the website starting with January of 2014.
Sounds good. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. You in favor?
Yes.
Okay. It's unanimous. Thank you very much.
No, she's not done.
I'm not done.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Correct. And then the second part of this that Fran and I talked about was the website redesign. Essentially what Fran has expressed is that it would probably be more convenient for users to be able to have a single page with a table set up so that you could immediately see on a particular date all the relevant information and have it all gathered in a single place. It's a very simple redesign. To do all three pages for Prudential Fire and Water, I'm figuring it'll be about $500 to do all three. To populate the pages with all the backlinks, I'll charge you on an hourly basis for that. But I'm guessing it's probably going to be, you know, a couple hundred bucks a year to do the backlinks. And then I don't know if you're going to need me to upload and digitize any documents that are remaining that are still outstanding. Again, that's something that I've done. Part of the website service that I provide already builds in half an hour a month of support time. And there's been cases where I've had calls and somebody's needed a document uploaded, made into a PDF, linked back. I'm happy to do that because I certainly understand that everybody's serving on the committees are volunteers, and sometimes it's easier and quicker for me to do it, and it's part of the service.
Any questions?
No.
What's the board's feeling on we'll make a motion?
Fiscal year, because we don't really know how much money we have
okay. For
this type of thing, and we can make sure we have it in the budget for next year.
I think that's fine. I think, you know, doing the podcast now and then, having the redesign set for, June 1st.
Yeah, it's just changing the links. It'll just be, what I'll do is I'll continue posting them then in the current format, and then July 1st, if you want to change it over, it's fairly quick for me to go in and then just change the links and move them to a new location, because the work of processing the audio and uploading it and creating the links will already be done. It'll just be a question of creating it on a new page. Very straightforward.
Great. Right.
That sounds fine.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay. Any questions? Any questions from the audience? Ken, if you could just go up to the microphone, please.
Ken Malloy, 225 Oxford. 5 hours a month at 75 is $4,500. Seems like we're getting perilously close to that $5,000 magic number. So we might want to think about that.
Any other questions?
Well, the one other thing that I mentioned at the beginning is if your audio guy can give me the files in a format that doesn't require as much processing, it won't take me as much time to be able to process the audio. Right now, I'm assuming that based on the file size that I got, I have to go through a two-step process. I may be able to either go with a one-step process, or the file may be able to go as is. I won't know that until Ken takes a look at the system. So what I'm trying to do is kind of give you a, I don't want to say worst case scenario, but I want to, I'd rather be honest about how much it could cost, and, you know, hopefully it's less.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Daly?
That's the fiscal 14 months to date February appropriation report. As far as the progress goes, 2013, we're getting there. We've got the cash reconciled through June 30 and into the new fiscal year. Balance sheet accounts are getting banged around pretty good at this point, I would expect, other than Mrs. Neamey, I'm still waiting for her numbers from Town Hall to validate. She has to sign the document that goes to DOR with me. Other than those receivables, I've pretty much got most of the balance sheet beat into pretty good shape. Income statements are in good shape. So I think, as I told you last month, I thought the cash would come together by the end of February. It's done now. We've migrated into full production of the financial statements. And at this point, I'd say, with any good luck, by the end of the month, should have those done. That would keep us in track with the SEC and bank disclosure. They like to get their report by 30 March, so I think we'll be okay with them. I've talked to the bank. I can try, but you know, you want me? Okay, very difficult. Let's see if we can do this. So the bank is on schedule for March, and the DOR will fall in, actually hopefully before that, because the bank likes to get a certified free cash number. So I think we should be okay. If we don't quite make it by the end of March, certainly early April will button that year up. And as soon as we're done with the production of the internal financials, we'll get the package out to the DOR, and we'll kick off the commencement of the fiscal 13 audit. They have started it. So I think 13 is rapidly coming to a boil, and we should be pretty much out of that year soon. 14 is in pretty good shape. You've got your monthly statement. One of the things cleaning up the cash did was it cleaned up the subsidiary ledgers. So our revenue ledger and our expenditure ledgers for 13 are really cleaned up tight now. I may have to do some reclassification across lines, but as far as voided checks or unposted transactions go, those all got cleaned up with the cash rack. So actually there are a lot of check voidings that hadn't occurred that we did more than anything. So we actually brought some of what you've seen down for fiscal 13 as far as expenditures go. So I say final budget entry scheduled for March for 14. All the encumbrances that were brought forward, all the balances that were brought forward, I'll just make sure they're all in clean to this report. There's been some miscues already hitting accounts that aren't the right accounts, but we'll clean those up as well. So 14 will be in scrub mode pretty much by April, and then budget work has commenced. I've started boiling up my work papers, and we've talked schedule. So 15 is, I would call it commenced. I wouldn't call it very far along. But and as far as 13 goes for the clerk, all his reports are in play as well, on top of the ones that we do that are the standard ones, the special ones that are special to Kootenai, working on those too. So our 13 reporting will be timely for our annual report. The month should be a good one. Hopefully we can push it forward. The only one that could hold me up at this point would be Mrs. Neamey. And it's been a week since I wrote her. I haven't heard anything. So I'm done for this week. I work today. So I'll be back out next week, and I'll chase her if I haven't seen or heard from her. So that's pretty much it for the report. I'll take up with you under the bulk electricity purchase. I've got some paperwork on that as well. So I'll defer to the next speaker and then come back on for the bulk purchase.
Do you you want to just go into that right now and take it out of order?
Sure, why not? That meeting was, the bids were due last week for the bulk purchase for the next 3 years to the county. They tried to schedule a meeting in mass with all of the participants as well as the consultants to try to analyze the contract. I'm assuming the contract has been analyzed, but the proposals they received last week are going to be reviewed in mass tomorrow. If you can be at the meeting, you can sign off on acceptance of the new rates. I'm assuming nobody's going to be there, so I've brought a document for you to sign and us to fax over to them, authorizing them to consider us in the purchase. So if none of the board members can make it tomorrow.
Where is the meeting tomorrow?
It is at the county.
County Assembly of Delegates?
They've got commission office, I believe. It's at 1 o'clock in the Innovation Room in the Open Cape/Cape Cod Commission Building. It's going to be probably a couple of hours. You'll find out what the deal is, and then you have till 5 o'clock to decide if you want to participate. The alternative would be to go out ourselves, to get somebody as an aggregator or to buy direct from the...
So by signing this, we don't essentially have to jump on board, but we just want to be part of, consider it, and when we see...
And that's your current source?
Yeah.
Is the, so the, the folks at the Cape Cod Light Compact are saying either send us this signed approval or come to the meeting and sign up while we're there when we explain to you what it's going to be. There is nothing to give you to decide unless you go to the meeting. So
right.
You can take a vote tonight and sign this and fax it in, or you can take a vote, authorize the chairman to go if you can get there.
I can get there, but that's... the board.
I'm not going to be available tomorrow. So.
Want to go? You sure?
So make a motion to authorize the chairman to go to the street light meeting tomorrow.
That's not
the street light.
It's the bulk purchase of electric rates for the next 3 years. That's the document that you can sign and fax into them. I've got two copies there made out for you. That's the email with the directions and the information on the meeting if you want to attend the meeting. I got something late from him this afternoon. I didn't even look at what it said. I had told him that you'd be taking it up today at your meeting and that you would... you would be sending him in a fax or attending the meeting tomorrow, depending on what you're disposed to do tonight.
Okay. Well, if you guys want, I can go. I'm going to be over there in the...
I'll correct the motion to authorize you to go to the meeting and on our behalf to just learn about and hopefully approve the bulk purchase of electricity for the district.
Yep. All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. He says, please let me know what decision you reach tonight. If you do not plan on participating, please scan and email the signed proxy to me. So I'll just send him an email and let him know that you'll be there.
Okay, great.
All right, thank you very much.
You bet.
That concludes that line.
Just to update folks on the streetlights, I was at the Cape Light. I was at a meeting, it was February 10th, regarding the final stages of the streetlight conversion. Kind of unusual that this is on time, on budget, and it's a county project, and it's really remarkable. But
Essentially, we have 303 lights here in Kituit, and they'll all be replaced. The test lights that are down there now in the test area, those were there were some other lights that were under development at the time. Cape Light, in their wisdom, felt that this later version of the lights is a better situation for us. So what they're going to do is they're going to replace those. So, in effect, the test lights aren't really the test lights. That's the only glitch. So we're doing okay. But we are in the final group of the lights. For those of you out there who... Charlie, you live in Cumberland, right?
Yeah.
And driving in Yarmouth. All the lights along 6A have been replaced. And what's your impression?
I don't see that much of a difference. But I will tell you that in the village of Bonsko itself, there was a great deal of opposition to going to the LED.
Yeah.
We're only doing it in the industrial areas.
Okay. The representative from the engineer from Siemens and also Kevin, what's Kevin's last name? From Cape Light, but they were trying to convince the good folks of Barnstable to try and get more on board. Because ultimately, what we're looking at is we are getting $111,000 worth of lights for nothing. And the amount of energy savings and maintenance savings is going to be 67% of what we are doing now. So it seems like quite a windfall. The project should be completed before summer, April, May. And there was one additional thing that they wanted to bring up. And there's a report that was generated. I checked my email today from my phone, but I can't read my email on my phone. It's too small. That I'm going to send out to you guys. I haven't read it yet. And that's the final proposals and what's going to happen. Then after it's all done, we will have a 60-day period where we can make contacts with the folks at Cape Light. And if I know, Ken, you had said that there was an issue with the building for the church, the front of the parsonage. That area from here to Putnam Ave is going to be the brightest, and then everything else is going to be the exact same. And it was actually a pretty cool presentation where they got into the human eye, and if everything has the exact same brightness, your eye doesn't have to focus and constrict, so all the lights should be working really well and enable us to see a little bit better. Some of the problems with the older lights are when they put them in, they're all working at whatever you call lumens. They are all working at different lumens, so it makes your eye adjust and you have a slower response rate. So that's where we are with that. It seems like it's all going perfect. The one issue is we may have to discuss is hiring somebody to do some tree work. They had sent some folks out, and they suggest that we take care of that prior to. The issue that I see with that is, and I don't know how much tree work we would need to have done, but with all the procurement issues, we would probably have to put something out.
Are they going to tell us what tree work we need to do?
They may have already told us. I just haven't had an opportunity to get on my email today and check it out.
Because I think they've already done a pretty good job in Kituit. We haven't had any power outages to speak of.
No, I saw some trucks a couple of weeks ago, two weeks ago, doing some tree work. So I don't know who got that. But, it all looks like it's going to be a good project for us. And we're getting $111,000 worth of stuff for free, and you can expect our electric costs to be and maintenance costs to be 67% less than what they are now. So that's all good news. So if anyone has any questions, I'll try and answer them. Otherwise, that's my new thing.
So snow removal. I know that who's been actually doing the parking lot outside? Is it the fire department or the water department?
I think the fire department does it generally, But the water department, I don't know if they have a formal switching off program. I think it's just whichever one gets up here first,
okay,
depending on the work they have to do for their own.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think we need to have a firm plan in place for removal of the sidewalks and clearing out the entrances, because they're not doing that. So we should either hire somebody to be on, you know, make an agreement with somebody to be on call so it just gets taken care of. So I think we need to find somebody who's going to do that. I have a problem with anybody coming here and doing it as a community service because of the liability involved. And I know it's nice to have the Boy Scouts do it or something else, but, you know, I just am concerned about liability issues with that.
Now, didn't you make some...
That was for standing. Even though the parking lot is plowed, when we get this melting and freezing, it gets pretty slippery out there. I spoke with Mr. Santos at the highway department because they do the fire department and they also do the library. And I asked him if it was possible to get this lot done as well. And he had no problem with that. It didn't happen this weekend, but I think that's because he didn't have time to let the guys know.
So as far as the sidewalk removal goes, I mean, I know I think Roger Scudder is the one who does it for the village, but it's only getting done it's like a day or two after a storm.
There are a couple of young guys in Katua that have started this type of service. One is Danny Wittenmeyer, and another is Nick Souza. And we might want to approach them.
Well, hopefully we won't need to do this till next year, but I think...
Or this Wednesday.
Or this Wednesday.
Whatever the board's feeling is on that, if you want to look in. Do you know these guys? You want to call them up and see what they would charge?
Nick's father is plowing our yard this year, and Mr. Wittenmeyer works for the highway department, and it's his son, and he even has a little sander. So.
As far as a little bit concerned about someone who's plowing your driveway getting a contract here.
It's not him, it's his kid.
Well, you know how things roll around here. But why don't we get some estimates and see where they're at,
okay,
and we can go from there. And hopefully by the time we have our next meeting, we'll be watching baseball and not
watch baseball now. It's starting the end of this week. Yeah. Great group. Yeah, and they broadcast those.
Fram heating system?
Heating system. So I think, clearly we need to make a decision. Last discussion about the bids that came in for the HVA system were clearly out of whack. So I just wanted to know if you want, we have a cracked firebox in one of the furnaces. And I wanted to know if you wanted me to try and go out to bid again for just the furnaces.
I think that's a good idea.
No, we would be talking about oil furnaces as opposed to
gas. Yes. Because we can get the gas run to the gas line. Bringing in the gas line would be no cost.
Okay. And I had heard through the grapevine that you went back to the engineers.
Yeah, I went back to the engineers, and he still came back to me. Well, you could probably do it and just do the duct work for the air conditioning, but, you know, there's...